This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with, see, this is new, much vexation, the vanity of self-indulgence, the vanity of living wisely, and the vanity of toil. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, from the house of your servant David, you raised up Joseph to be the guardian of your incarnate Son and the husband of his mother Mary. Grant us grace to follow the example of this faithful workman in heeding your counsel and obeying your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The epistle for the feast of Saint Joseph is from Saint Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents to the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. This is the word of the Lord.
Second chapter. Now when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I suspect that in our age it is more difficult to accept the humanity of Christ than it is his divinity. Our people are often disturbed at the prayer of Jesus at Gethsemane. It doesn't seem right to us that he should behave in such a way. And yet, we are not generally disturbed or even doubting the miracles. And so also, do we tend to look upon the temptation of Christ as something that was rather foregone and easy because he's divine? This weakness on the humanity of Christ is why Calvin's doctrine of the Lord's Supper is so appealing. It is easy to accept in an intellectual way the idea of a real spiritual presence. It's much more difficult to confess that the risen body of Jesus Christ, the man, is actually placed into our mouths. It is also the reason that we can be so inattentive or even irreverent at the sacrament. If we are simply confessing a real spiritual presence in the sacrament, then it is a confession of the omnipresence of Christ. And if that is the case, then kneeling before the sacrament is really no different than being in your bathroom. We are too weak for that. And while it sounds at some level ridiculous to say it, the reality is that Christ is more than God. He is greater than himself. He has become that which he was not. He has become one of us, so that we would be restored to that which we once were and elevated. The Lord Jesus Christ is a man, is as certain as baptism is water, and the sacrament of the altar is bread and wine. We have no access to God apart from creation. He is not ethereal, ambiguous, nor is he ours simply to manipulate at will, like extracting oxygen from the atmosphere. He has bound us to his word. And so also he has bound himself. And from the first instance of his incarnation, he humbled himself as a man. The creator of all, the living God, the Word, must depend upon Joseph to get him to Bethlehem. He cannot fly there. He is but a man. He cannot walk. He is a baby. So also he requires Joseph to get him food, no manna or bread from rocks for him. He needs clothing, shoes, food, a house, home, and the like. He even needs Joseph, weak as he is, to protect him from Herod. Contemplate this, if you dare, that God placed himself into the care of fallible human beings. And therefore, Joseph is the true father of Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, DNA is far less significant than love. It was Joseph's love for God and for Mary that led him to obey the message of the angel, which led him to loving Jesus as a father loves his son. When the woman that you love, whom God has given to you, has a baby in her arms of her own flesh, it does not matter to you who the biological father is. You love that baby. For you. Adoption makes real sons every time. This is true whether it is an adoption that is legal and recognized by the state, or if it is simply the reality in the home where the child lives. The world counts such things as shameful, and in a sense, they most certainly are shameful. They would not exist if it were not for sin. But God redeems the ashamed, the neglected, and the forgotten. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the solitary into families. He is love. The incarnate Lord's dependency upon Joseph contributed directly to his sorrows, his suffering, It is part and parcel of his humiliation, dependency upon Joseph, part of both his active and his passive obedience. For he takes on all of human shame and guilt. But Joseph is in no way cheated. He gains a son. He sees this as honor and glory and joy. He feels the satisfaction and the peace that comes from living in a family, from living for other people instead of for yourself. And he has the pleasure of watching the Lord Jesus Christ grow. He is given the God-given, sanctified, legitimate pride of a father. And this is good. This is better than money or honor among men. So don't feel sorry for him. And so it is that the Lord Jesus Christ lives under Joseph as Israel incarnate. He is the scapegoat and the Passover lamb and the incense that is offered to the Father. And he is also the patriarch, the priest, and the king. It is necessary for Joseph the dreamer to take Jesus to Egypt. This is costly, onerous, dangerous. Joseph is separated from his family for years, gives up his livelihood, becomes an exile and a refugee, even as he is the subject of scorn from his own people. Jesus is not only to be born in Bethlehem, he is also to be called out of Egypt, and he is to be called a Nazarene. He is not only David, the shepherd boy who defeats Goliath, he is also Moses, who leads us out of bondage. He is Joshua, who leads us into the promised land. He is Abraham, who has no place to lay his head in his own land. He set all of them into his family, and so also does he set us. So when Joseph returns, they do not go back to Bethlehem, but to Nazareth. Jesus is rejected and despised for every reason that men reject one another. His parents are not pure. He did not grow up here. He is not good looking. He isn't rich. He's from the wrong place. He doesn't laugh at the right jokes. He does not make us comfortable in our sins or look away when it is awkward. But even though Joseph is not his biological father, and even though he has cost Joseph greatly, Joseph does not reject him, and neither do you. In some ways, Joseph's guardianship and his loyalty to the baby Jesus is a bit like Reepicheep guarding Aslan. No one takes our Lord's life from him. He lays it down and he takes it up again of his own accord. But the work that Joseph is given is real and it is honorable. Reepicheep suffers a few rebukes from Aslan, but he is not mocked. His contributions matter, they are significant, and Aslan uses them to further his kingdom. So much more Joseph, and so much more you. This is a strange kingdom, to be sure. It does not fit with the mythologies of men that God would become a man and empty himself in order to suffer in our place, that he would endure these humiliations, these difficulties and sorrows, but it is a good kingdom. It is the only one, in fact, that is real. All other kingdoms are liars. Maybe a mouse with a needle for a sword would be a good emblem for us. Strange as this kingdom might be, it is the one in which we live, the one into which we have been set. For the Lord Jesus Christ acts without fail in love. He moves toward the cross purposefully, and he gives each of your crosses purpose. They are not in vain. You are not an orphan, fatherless or lost, and your children belong to you by grace and by right, whether they are biologically connected or not. Even as you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a man after your own heart. He says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and guard it." If you guard the word of God, then you are the son of Joseph, and that makes you a brother of Jesus. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace, that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
always.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Thank you.
And now may the holy body and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.